This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. It is draft eve.
How about that? Happy draft day
happy,
eve to all.
Happy draft day eve to everybody. As such, being this close to the draft, a lot of the national guys are putting out their final rankings.
Yeah, right, right.
As I've done, all my rankings are out there on the DKPittsburghSports.com. I just went top 10 in every position. I didn't dig super deep into things.
Still, the 10th safety, the 10th tight end. I mean, it's pretty deep.
You're deep. Yeah, we're going in deep. But so what I've done here is I've got Mel Kiper's final 150. I've got Daniel Jeremiah's top 150. And I've got Todd McShay's top whatever this is, top 300.
Yeah.
You would talk about digging deep. So I thought we'd run through this a little bit and give people
see
an idea.
Yeah, see the difference on what. And, right.
Yes.
And these guys, obviously today's a great day to publish those things, but they want to take as long as they possibly can before they build their final boards. And even NFL teams are moving one guy up here or there. It's a constant, ever-changing game.
Well, that's why Kevin Colbert, when we talked to him on Monday, said that their board was pretty set, but they'll tweak some things.
I'm sure.
That's what you're doing. Nobody's jumping three rounds or anything like that at this point.
No, I mean, I think everybody reconvenes and you come back and be like, Kevin, I think we're too low on that safety. Let's re-talk about that.
This guy maybe should be bumped up. However you grade, from an 80 to an 84.
He is a starter. I couldn't sleep last night thinking about it. I mean, that's the kind of things that happen. And the other thing that really happens, too, is you don't change the list, your tight end list, but your third tight end you might like better than your fourth safety. And
right.
You're sure before. The
things of that
board
nature.
Is really
yeah.
important.
Okay, so everybody has Trevor Lawrence at the top.
Sure, sure.
No surprise there. Everybody has Kyle Pitts as number two.
Mm-hmm. Took a couple of these guys a little while to come around that he's clearly number two. I mean, he was always top five for all of them, but he's clearly number two.
Interesting here, McShay and Jeremiah both have Ja'Marr Chase, number three overall. Mel Kiper has Devontae Smith, number three overall.
So, I mean, there's two phases of that. I mean, that's really high for Smith, and he's his number one receiver.
Yeah, right. I had a tough time. I did my final mock draft on DK Pittsburgh Sports. .com last night. I think Devontae Smith fell into the he was definitely in the teens.
Yeah, I think he could be Eagles at 12 in that neighborhood. I don't know that he goes in top 10.
Yeah, so that would be interesting to see if that happens. Now, Kiper does have Ja'Marr Chase fourth on his list.
Okay. I honestly don't think they're close.
No.
I think Chase would be third or fourth.
The troubling thing for me with Devontae Smith is that he showed up at the medical recheck.
So light.
Under 170 pounds.
Right. I mean, there's just not many examples. I mean, I understand there are outliers, but history shows not many people built like him have great careers.
Yeah.
And I know he's phenomenal and his tape is great and he's competitive and he has super long arms. I'd have a real tough time using a top 10 pick.
The guy that comes to mind for me with him is Todd Pinkston.
He's the shape.
Yeah, right. That same build, and Pinkston got broken in half a couple of times.
Yeah, he got pushed around his whole career, right. The other thing, too, is it's kind of like the running back conversation. There's so many receivers that have come in the league the last couple of years. You need to be a little more special than the corner or edge rusher for me to use the sixth pick in the draft on you.
And he's special. He's got some special talents.
Yeah, right. I mean,
but,
I'm cutting on him. I'm just saying, I don't think I would buy him where everyone else does.
Okay, so Mel has Chase number four.
Okay.
Jeremiah and McShay both have Zach Wilson number four.
Okay. I think you and I would have Fields over Wilson, but I understand Wilson being four. And not to, these guys also know Wilson's going four, and it makes you look a little better if you don't have him six.
Sure, yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
So Mel has Jalen Waddell number five.
Okay, he got three receivers in his top
five.
I like Waddell more than Smith.
Jeremiah has Waddle number five on his list, and McShay has Penei Sewell at number five on his list.
I mean, not much to add to that. I mean,
the top 10 is pretty much the top 10,
right? I think there's about a dozen I don't want to say blue chippers, but easy first rounders.
Right.
You know.
Mel has Sewell at six. Okay. Yeah. He has him at six. Jeremiah has Devontae Smith at six, as does McShay.
Okay. So, I mean, it's interesting to me that the quarterbacks have only been brought up minimally outside of Lawrence.
This is where it gets really interesting because Mel has Rashawn Slater at number seven, ahead of Sewell.
Ahead of Sewell.
Yeah.
DJ did most of the process.
DJ has Trey Lance at number seven, okay. Which is interesting.
That is.
That's the number three quarterback on his – no, number two quarterback on his list.
Yeah, and the highest Lance is ranked, right?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. He had Zach Wilson at four. But that's
okay.
So Lance at number seven for him is his number three quarterback. Okay. Now, he's been down on Fields the whole time, though.
Yeah, he has.
And then McShay has Waddle at number seven.
Okay. I mean, a lot of the same names here, as you said.
Yeah. Now, Mel has Justin Fields at eight.
Okay.
As does Jeremiah.
I mean, these guys know more than us, but he's two for me.
Yeah.
In terms of quarterbacks.
Eight for Jeremiah is also Fields.
Okay. So none of them have him out of the top ten.
And Rashawn Slater is eight for McShay.
I can't see Fields lasting certainly past Denver, who traded for Bridgewater today, but probably
that doesn't
even
change the
change one thing.
No.
I just think Detroit.
In fact, it makes
seven.
It more likely that if for example, Fields is there or Trey Lance is there, you just take him because you've got your bridge.
You got more stopgaps.
Yeah.
Right. He's just another guy to add.
He doesn't need to play right away, and I don't think he's ready to play right away.
No. I think Fields will go seven to where the Lions pick, but not to the Lions.
At nine is where Kuiper has Zach Wilson.
Okay.
Nine for Jeremiah is Patrick Surtain. Eight for McShay is Rashawn Slater. Nine for McShay is Trey Lance.
I don't know if Slater gets past, like, Carolina.
10 for Mel is Elijah Vera Tucker.
Wow.
That's about as high as you'll see him
right.
For a guy who's really kind of a...
He's pretty much a guard.
Pretty much a guard, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think he will be plugged in as a guard. Some of these guys, you know, back to the Greg Cosell conversation, we got to line up 64 tackles. I think someone's going to draft him as a guard, you know, the
right.
Giants or the Vikes or somebody like that.
With some tackle, like, okay, on game days, if
somebody
goes down,
you got to get us out of the month and we can slide us out there. It's certainly a feather in his cap, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's very safe, too.
Yeah, for 10 for Jeremiah is Rashawn Slater. 10 for McShay is Patrick Surtain.
Okay, so a lot of the same names.
First defensive player for McShay.
Okay,
number 10. Huh? Yeah. Just really kind of crazy because
it is. It's a strange year.
Really low. 11 for Kuiper is Micah Parsons. That's his first defensive player.
I think he's a rare trait guy, but there are some off the field things looming.
Yeah. 11 for Jeremiah is Penei Sewell.
Pretty late.
That's as late as you're going to see him.
I guess he did have Slater ahead of him, huh?
Yeah.
I had a good conversation actually about Penei Sewell and Chase and Pitts, and this is what I said about each was. When I look at all the elite tight end prospects that I can remember, like Vernon Davis, Ebron, Hockenson, Kellen Winslow, I'll take Pitts at this stage of their career over all of them.
Yeah.
Jamar Chase versus Julio, AJ, Andre, Calvin. I love him, but he'd be last for me.
He doesn't have the track record that those other guys have.
He doesn't have the 6'4". You know? I mean, and same with Sewell. Like, I really like Sewell, but I don't. If it's Bocelli, Ogden, Pace, you know.
The problem is that those guys that you just mentioned, none of them have come into the NFL in the last 10 years.
Oh, absolutely.
We haven't had these generational. Who's the last generational?
Used to be a lot.
Yeah, who's
the
last?
The safest thing you could get.
I mean, even. People talked about Mekhi Becton that way last year.
He wasn't even the first one taken.
Wasn't even the first one taken, right.
I mean, then there's the year that's a real outlier is the Fisher-Jokel year.
Right.
It's just an awful draft class.
Yeah. I mean,
they would be last. I'd take Sewell over those guys all day long.
Right.
At the same stage. But you're right. There has not been the no-brainer slam dunk tackle. And it was one of the first things I learned when I became a real draft dork as a kid was that's like the safest pick going. You know, Orlando Pace, first overall, is not going to bust.
Yeah. Unless you're, I mean, Tony Mandarich, you know, but.
Yeah. Didn't he have a steroid something?
Well,
right there?
There was some stuff there. They do bust every once in a while.
It's rare.
Yeah.
You're right, though.
McShay has Justin Fields at 11. So, I mean. Again, we're talking here about the top picks in this. Again, I think it's 15 or so players that are at the top of everybody's boards.
I mean, we're pretty
the
much
order is
all the same names. I think the most interesting thing we've talked about, though, is Vera Tucker's pretty high on one board.
Yeah,
you
right.
Know, like, I want to see where the outliers
are. Well, we're gonna see another outlier here.
Yeah, Micah Parsons is pretty high on a board.
Right. So Kiper has Mac Jones at 12.
I get it.
That's high for me.
He's not for me. He's not for you. I mean, I think he's going three. Quarterbacks are super hard to rank.
I just wonder if that he puts him at 12 just because he's going to go high.
Because he knows it, yeah.
Because I know where Jeremiah has him. I
think he has him like 32.
He has him at 32.
You know,
yeah,
he's kept him there to kind of
yeah
cover his butt.
Yeah, he'll be a
first
rounder, but that's not necessarily where he goes in most drafts.
No, you're right. Quarterbacks are hard for me because this isn't exactly a ring endorsement of Mac Jones. But my favorite thing about Mac Jones, which would apply for the Steelers, is if the Steelers would draft Mac Jones, you would keep Hargrave and Dupree. You know what I mean? Just the finances of it is really attractive
right.
if he's an average starting quarterback.
But not this year.
Not this year. I'm just right. saying, like,
because you're wasting a year that
it doesn't
cheapness.
The math doesn't add up this yeah. year. But those type of guys that have left in the past wouldn't have. And think about the roster you'd have with a first-round contract at quarterback. Yeah.
The thing is, I saw there was a report today about Mac Jones, and they were talking about how the 49ers are probably going to take him.
Mm-hmm.
And the conclusion was that if you look at Shanahan's past, where he's coached Kirk Cousins, he's coached Matt Ryan, and then
right.
Jimmy Garoppolo, that Mac Jones is kind of a mashup of all three of those guys.
Sure,
and I'm like,
sure.
Matt Ryan could have been considered at one point a top five quarterback.
Oh yeah, I mean he's a borderline Hall of Famer to me.
But the other guys,
he got
are just guys.
It's like the Chris Rock thing. I mean, I can drive a car with my feet, but it doesn't mean I should. You know,
right.
like the perfect example to me.
I mean, if you're going to compare this guy, you say, well, he's a mashup of Kirk Cousins and Jimmy Garoppolo. You don't take him third
you
overall.
Don't take him third overall and use three first round picks.
That's
to get
ridiculous.
Him. Right, just because you can make it work. I mean, the best example in that system, it's not Shanahan, is, well, what about when LaFleur, from that system, got Rodgers? Well, he won the MVP.
You know, like, yeah. Well, Rodgers was pretty talented before that,
sure.
though. Yeah.
I mean, if he had Kirk Cousins, he'd probably be fine. They'd
yeah.
probably win 9 or 10 games. But if you give him Rodgers, then they go 13-3 two
right.
years in a row.
Yeah.
You know, like, doesn't mean you should do it the other way.
Yeah, the talent
just
matters,
you can.
Too. Jeremiah has Micah Parsons at 12.
Okay.
And McShay has Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah at 12.
I'm real curious how that goes.
I have a tough time slotting him every time I do a mock draft.
Me too. I don't know where he lands. I
because
really
he's not going to be for everybody.
I often put him to like the Raiders, but they need so many other things that might not be it. You know, if anybody took him at 10, 12, I'd go, I understand.
Yeah.
I mean, he stands out, but he's an odd fit.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know that.
Parsons kind of is too.
To a certain degree, those inside linebackers are different fits. I mean, you better have a plan if you're bringing these guys in.
Yeah, yeah, especially JOK, because, I mean, Isaiah Simmons was inactive for a couple games.
Right.
You better know what he's doing from day one. And you know, Simmons might turn out to be great, but it is hard to slot those guys. I mean, like if the Giants would trade back or if Detroit trades back from 7 and they're picking 15, 16, I could see, you know, things will change and holes will open up.
Yeah. But. Kiper has Trey Lance at number 13.
Fair enough.
That's actually his
Mac Jones even mentioned once, though, right?
That's his fifth.
That's number five.
That's number five quarterback.
So he's already
for him.
Mentioned Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vera Tucker is at 13 for Jeremiah, and Vera Tucker is at 13 for McShay.
Mm-hmm. I think that's where he's going to go.
At 14 for Mel is J.C. Horn. At 14 for Jeremiah is J.C. Horn. At 14 for McShay, J.C. Horn.
Wow, wow.
How about that?
Yeah. I think he's certainly one of the obvious first-rounders. I mean, we haven't hit the limit yet where, you know, everyone in the league has a first-round grade on J.C. Horn.
Yeah.
One thing I found really interesting, everyone in the world has Surtain going to Dallas at 10, but I don't have all the connections, but Dallas's coaching staff has a ridiculous connection to the Horn family. Like, they know those guys extremely well. Wouldn't blow me away if Horn ended up in Dallas.
At 15, Mel has Patrick Surtain, so he has Horn
That's
over.
Really
he has Horn over Surtain. Jeremiah has Owusu-Koramoah,
mm-hmm.
and McShay has Mac Jones at 15.
Okay, I bet if I did a list like this, Mac Jones would be about 15.
I think 15 is as low as any of the quarterbacks, the first round quarterbacks go, because of New England.
Yeah,
I think if Washington or Chicago want a quarterback, they're going to have to move up ahead of New England.
Yeah,
if they get past Denver.
Here's my question though: like, it's more interesting to me if Mac Jones goes 3, because I think the rest of the league likes Lance and Fields so much better than Jones. But if Jones doesn't go 3 for some reason, how far does he go? I think 15 is the limit.
That's the floor, I think.
But do you think Denver would even consider him?
He's better than what they've got.
He's better than what they got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they would.
They would.
It's 16 for Mel. You'll like this one. Elijah Moore. How about that?
Elijah Moore.
Yeah. That's as high as you're going to see that. And I think that's the point in the draft there.
That might be the limit. That might be the line. Yeah, it might be the line. You know, where I think he's going in the first round. Like, I think he could be a Titan in the first round. Or
I think so, too. That's where I've mocked him a lot.
You're hearing Terrence Marshall injury issues. Bateman's probably in that conversation. But I have a real strong feeling Elijah Moore's going to be the fourth receiver. Which would be great for the Steelers, the more I think about it. If he goes before 24.
Oh, absolutely.
Great, great.
Yeah. Get as many up there as you can.
Yeah.
At 16 for Jeremiah is Trevon Moehrig. At 16 for McShay is Micah Parsons.
Okay. I mean, I guess they're all about the same.
Yeah.
It's a little high on Moehrig.
17 for Mel is Jalen Phillips.
He'd be higher for me, but I don't know the medicals.
17 for Jeremiah is Kwity Paye. 17 for McShay is Trevon Moehrig.
Okay. I mean, we're talking about a lot of the same names.
But yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Okay, 18 for Mel is Christian Darrisaw.
I'm surprised his name hasn't come up a little earlier.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at McShay or Jeremiah's rankings before this, and you'll be surprised where he has Darrisaw. It's pretty low.
Really? Wonder how far he could fall.
I don't think I can't see him falling. He's a true left tackle.
He's a true left tackle. I mean, the knocks on him that we didn't always talk about early is sometimes plays to his competition. I mean, there's some reps where he looks like he's not interested and kind of just going through it.
That won't happen in the NFL.
You would think not.
I mean, it's one thing if you're playing Coastal Carolina. No offense to Coastal Carolina.
Right, exactly. Right.
Something completely different when you're lining up against the Bengals and they're they're putting Trey Hendrickson over top of you or something.
I think
like
it was
that.
Like Miami and Pitt and some of these good defensive lines they played. He kicked ass.
Yeah.
He kicked butt.
He rose to the challenge. Yeah, you get a rise to the challenge every week in the NFL.
But you wonder, is he not interviewing great, or is there something like that going on? You know, I'm just speculating.
Jeremiah has Kwity Paye there at 17.
Yeah.
And McShay has Trevon Moehrig at 17.
Okay, a lot of the same names.
Yeah.
This is kind of that middle area. You put good players that probably won't go super high. But
oh, I think
Paye
could go high. I said 18 for Mel. 18 for Jeremiah is Gregory Rousseau.
He's not.
That's pretty high for him.
That's really high for me.
18 for McShay is Kwity Paye.
Okay.
With Rousseau, though, I mean, yeah.
There's like five edge rushers.
I see some
case for all of them.
There's some Terrell Suggs-like things that are going on there.
I don't think he's nearly as tough.
But I see, you know, one of the reasons why Suggs fell the way he did.
He ran bad. Right.
Well, Rousseau ran bad.
He did.
But, man, did he have production.
He had great production.
And so did Suggs. So I just wonder if some teams will overlook that and go, well, the guy knows how to get to the quarterback.
Yeah. I think there's some of that. I just finished a series. I did like 5 or 6 of them of where they could land, and Rousseau was my last one. I pretty much said he's an early second rounder. Of those 5 or 6 edge guys, he's probably my least favorite, but he's the most unique.
Yeah.
Because he can jump inside. That's where most of his sacks came from, the inside.
Right.
You know, and
he just uses his speed's not a factor on the inside.
No, right. He's still he's great get off.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a great 10-yard split, and he's got those long arms. I think he did himself a disservice of sitting out this year, though, too.
Probably. There's a couple guys like that.
Guys probably regret it. Imagine if him and Phillips were coming off the edge together. You know, right.
Yeah, Miami would have been ridiculous this year.
Probably have just as many sacks.
And then you maybe never hear of Quincy Roche.
Or he bumped inside and all three of them are out there and they're, you know, right, terrorizing the ACC.
At 19 for Mel is Jamin Davis. How about that?
Wow. I see it, though. He's such a modern-day linebacker. Frank Cosell adores him, too.
Yeah. 19 for Jeremiah is Travis Etienne.
I understand. I mean, if you look at it,
this is where we're into that area, though, where it's beauty's isn't going to be in the eye of the beholder.
Are you believing any of the rumors that Buffalo's really interested in ATN? And
he's different than what they've got.
Very.
They've got their banger with Moss.
Right. I don't think they're happy with Singletary at
all. Singletary's just a guy.
He has no explosion at all.
They show you that. They don't run the football.
They don't run football. I mean, I think their goal, in a much different way than the Steelers, is we need to establish some kind of running game. This is a hard thing to rely on.
And if you're the Bills, you have to look at things in this fashion. Like, how do we get our offense on par enough? If we play Kansas City again in the playoffs, how do we beat them? We have to score with them.
Got to score with them, right.
And so he gives you a home run threat. He gives you a home run threat that helps you do that.
I agree. I mean, I think it's a really good fit. But, I mean, the rumors you hear are they're trying to get ahead of the Steelers to get ATN.
Okay.
That'd be fine by me, don't get me wrong. But I don't know that I'd trade a lot from to get up 10 spots for running back.
At 19 for McShay is Caleb Farley.
I don't know where you put him.
He's like Owusu Koramoa.
Yeah.
The tape is outstanding for both of them, but where do you put him?
I mean, he screams going to a playoff team with job security, like the Packers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody's not going to get fired for taking him.
20 for Mel is Quiddy Pay.
Okay.
20 for Jeremiah is Najee Harris.
He's been very high on Harris since the start. I get it.
20 for McShay is Christian Darrisaw.
Okay. That's the first time he's been mentioned, right?
No, he was mentioned. Mel had him up higher.
Okay. Tackles are going to go high, though. I think these offensive linemen are going to go higher than people think.
There's always six or seven offensive linemen in every draft that are taking the first round.
There's a lot of teams that need them. I mean, the Minnesota, Giants range, Indy, a lot of these teams.
You're not passing on a true left tackle.
No, even if there's a lot, you still grab them.
21 for Mel is Greg Newsome. 21 for Jeremiah is Jalen Phillips. 21 for McShay is Jalen Phillips.
Okay. What percent chance do you give Newsome to be there at 24? Maybe like 50-50.
I think it's 50-50.
He's probably the third corner. Third corners usually last well.
Unless somebody feels pretty good about Farley's medicals.
Right. Like I can see Arizona at 16 or so grabbing Newsome.
Yeah. 22 for Mel is Christian Barmore.
That's a little rich for
That's way rich for me. Jeremiah has Caleb Farley at 22.
I guess this is a neighborhood you put him in.
Yeah.
Put him in your first round.
And then McShay has ATN at 22.
ATN's a really good back. He fits the league really well. He's not so good in protection either, by the way.
Yeah. No, he's not. At 23 for Mel is Owusu Koramoa.
That's late.
That's really late.
But it makes you think he might not go.
And he had him behind Jamin Davis.
Really? Who would you rather have for the Steelers?
Jamin Davis.
Me too. Just because the height.
The height, you want the length.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things that.
He's more of a linebacker.
Yeah.
You know.
Whereas, Owusu Koramoa is more of a chess piece.
Mm-hmm.
You better have a really good idea what you want to do with him.
Sure. I mean, he's useful. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
But I would rather have Davis or the Steelers.
A 23 for Jeremiah is Jamin Davis.
Okay.
At 23 for McShay is Elijah Moore.
A little on the linebacker talk, Zaven Collins' name has not been mentioned.
No, he's not come up yet.
I'm a little shocked that he's not at least second or third for some of these guys.
Mel has Trevon Moehrig at 24.
Mm-hmm.
The aforementioned Zaven Collins is at 24 for Jeremiah. 24 for McShay is Greg Newsome.
Okay. These are all guys that will be Steeler relevant or picked in that neighborhood.
25 for Mel is Tevin Jenkins.
I see that.
25 for Jeremiah, Javonte Williams.
Wow. He's always been high on him.
Yeah.
Give DJ some credit. I mean, before it was cool to have him high, he had him high.
I had him high that
day. You did.
25 for McShay is Jamin Davis.
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about, folks. When people say, you got to trade back to take one of those backs, Daniel Jeremiah knows what he's talking about.
Oh, yeah. He's
really got all three of these backs in his top 25.
Right. He thinks they're three of the best 25 football players in this whole draft. Well, I mean, do you not want one of the best?
There's no difference in taking that guy at 24 or taking him at 30.
If you can swing it and you get an
pick out of it, then fine. But
not if you get shut out on them and they go ahead of you. Buffalo trades up and takes them.
That's no good.
So that doesn't. Yeah, right.
20.
I mean, I'd consider trading back if Jamin Davis, all three backs, and
Devin if all Jenkins three are available, then you can move back a little bit. But
sure,
otherwise, because Cleveland's not taking a back.
No,
you know,
Baltimore probably won't.
Baltimore's probably not. Right, yeah. Right. 26 for Mel is Rashad Bateman.
I can see that.
He's now his number four receiver. Not fifth, actually.
I bet he's
number
fifth
five.
With Elijah Moore.
Elijah Moore is at 26 for Daniel Jeremiah. That's up 12 spots for him. They're hearing
people
something.
People are realizing.
They're hearing something on him.
Yep.
And then McShay has Tevin Jenkins at 26.
Okay. People seem to have cooled on him. I have no idea why.
Maybe because he's more of a right.
Because he's not a left.
Yeah.
You know, like, if he was a left, I bet Indy would just grab him and move on. But he could go to the Raiders at 17.
He's still 6'7", 320 pounds.
He's really good. I think he'd be an awesome guard. You could probably play him at left in today's
The Ravens NFL would love to get him with one of their with one of their two picks.
Absolutely.
At 27 for Mel is Kadarius Toney.
He's not for me, but boy, he's explosive and great with the ball in his hands. He's a really undisciplined player, though. I mean, the people that really know say he doesn't run the right route all the time, kind of freelances, and that makes teams crazy.
Yeah, it just drives you nuts. 27 for Jeremiah is Greg Newsome.
I see that.
27 for McShay is Zaven Collins.
Okay. I think Newsome is a super solid double, kind of like Vera Tucker.
Yeah. You know. 28 for Mel is Farley.
Okay.
28 for Jeremiah is Kadarius Toney. 28 for McShay is Najee Harris.
Okay. No real surprises there.
Yeah. 29 for Mel is Najee Harris.
Okay. So they're thinking he's a first-round player. All three experts think he's a first-round player.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that they're predicting he's going to go in the first, but they think he's one of the
They think he's
32.
One of the top, best 32 available. For Jeremiah, Levi Onwuzurike, number 29.
I sort of get it. I don't know. I mean, I think most years he's a second or third rounder, and maybe him and Barmore go earlier than they should just
because. Because there's just nobody
there. There's nobody there. Yeah. If you have a D-tackle need, it's a
Again, if you're the Steelers, you want, or Steelers fan, you want as many of those defensive tackles going in the top 50 picks as possible.
That'd be great.
If three of them go, that's great.
Yeah, I'd say three is probably the max, though, don't you think?
I think so, 29 for McShay is Rashad Bateman.
Okay. I like Bateman a lot.
I do, too.
Yeah.
30 for Mel is Travis Etienne.
Okay.
30 for Jeremiah is Azeez Ojulari.
I'm a little shocked that's the first we've heard his name.
Yeah.
I've heard some medical, but his tape's really good.
It's good. Yeah. He bends well.
He does. He does.
30 for McShay is Christian Barmore.
Yeah, I guess that's about the neighborhood.
31 for Mel, Javonte Williams.
Really? Yeah, I mean,
hop on board.
All three backs are going to go in the top 40.
They're not getting out of 35-40 in that range. It's not happening.
I mean, Atlanta picking early in the second, the Dolphins and Jets with multiple picks, you know, even Jacksonville with five early picks. Those guys aren't falling far.
Yeah. 31 for Jeremiah is Jason Owe.
Okay. First time we've said his name, though.
He's not really for me, but
no, I know. I want production. I see why coaches get involved late in the process, look at him and say, let me have that.
Look at that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. 31 for McShay is Azeez Ojulari. Okay. Like, if I'm picking between Ojulari and Owe, I'm taking Ojulari.
Me too.
You know.
I mean, his tape's better.
Again, for Owe, fall into the quarterback once during the season last year. Just once.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, we'd still be saying, oh, you only have one sack, but it's a heck of a lot better than zero.
Zero
is pretty darn bad.
The Blutarski, like, 0.0. Right. 32 for Mel is Terrace Marshall. 32 for Jeremiah is Mac Jones.
Yeah. I think there's a reason he's at 32 and not 31 or 33.
Yeah.
Okay.
And 32 for McShay is Kadarius Toney.
That really tells me DJ does not like Mac Jones.
Exactly.
And he doesn't say it much on the air.
Yeah.
But he's looking at him like a third-round pick. I mean, I bet if you gave DJ Truth Serum, he'd be like, I would take that guy in the top 50.
Right. I think, you know, because he's a quarterback, it's almost the Christian Barmore, Levi Onwuzurike argument. Like, well, there's only so many of these guys.
There's more demand than supply.
Right. So they're going to get overdrafted. Well, quarterbacks get overdrafted every year.
They do.
This year, the defensive tackles are going to get overdrafted as well.
I would imagine. Hope so.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. But that's the top 32 for those guys. We're going to take a break.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll break down.
See, I think the second and third round types will be even more interesting.
I think that's where the value's at in this draft.
Right.
I think it's
really
always where the value's at in the draft.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. So we'll do that when we come back, or if you listen to the next segment. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. We want to thank Jacob Reck for keeping us on the air throughout the course of the show. And we want to thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.